All right, so let's get started here. So continuing on thought we began a couple weeks ago, it's that thought that we understand what our physical needs are. That's fairly plain, that they're essential for life, health, and strength. But we realize that mentally and emotionally we also have basic needs. If we're lacking them, it can make life very difficult to live. But it's really kind of defining what we actually need mentally and emotionally, and then also trying to understand, well, where do I actually go to get those needs met? Because a lot of times we can seek those things in the wrong places, and it can be very frustrating for us. And so we looked at the thought of finding value, also the idea of finding hope. And so tonight we want to consider the thought of finding acceptance. And so we understand, first of all, that acceptance can be defined as the quality, state, or act of being favorably received or approved by another, or to be welcomed into a group. And so I think we've all experienced times where we've had that. I think we've all experienced times where we wish we had it and we didn't, where we wanted to be welcomed but we weren't. And so throughout our lives there are various groups and individuals whose acceptance we seek. And it varies throughout our lives, but we can think of various ones whose acceptance we seek. We seek the acceptance of our parents, that they're pleased with us, that they are happy with us for who we are. We want to be accepted by our peers as we grow up, right? That we think of it that if people are picking teams, you don't want to be the last one that they pick, right? You want to be one of the first ones. Or say if there's a crowd of kids, it's like you want them to say, come on over, not like, who are you, stay away from us, right? But we want that, and that happens as we get older as well, that we want to, it would be the same. You walk into like Tim Hortons, and if there's people that are gathering, it feels great if they see you, and it's like, hey, you want to come over, that's meaningful, right? But then as well, we seek acceptance. We think of it when we're entering the workforce. We send in a resume and we hope that it's going to be accepted because we want a job. And it means a lot to us when someone looks at who we are and says, yeah, I want this person on my team. That means a lot. And so we're looking for that. We desire to have that acceptance. And of course, there's generally a process to acceptance. Sometimes it can happen quite quickly, but what usually happens is we're first acknowledged, that they say, okay, I see this person. And then you can maybe see in their mind, they're evaluating, okay, should we let this person in? And they kind of think of who we are. And then they make that choice. Should we accept them? Should we welcome this person in? Or should we reject them? And so that's the process we make with others, that we acknowledge their presence, we evaluate, and then we say, okay, should I welcome this person in? And it's something that others do to us as well. And so being accepted means a lot to us, and we can think of it. When we're accepted, when we're welcomed into a group, it reaffirms our personal value. That, as we learn about, we want to understand what our value is and where we can find our value. But when people want to be around us, that we say, oh, I'm valuable to these people. And so that means a lot to us. It gives us a sense of belonging, that, hey, this is my tribe, that these are my friends, I'm welcome here. That means a lot. But of course, being rejected or ostracized by a group can be emotionally devastating to us, especially when we're young. It's something that it really can hurt sometimes when we say, if we want, We're hoping someone might be our friend and they're not interested, right? Or we want to be part of a group and we're on the outside looking in. It makes us feel isolated. It makes us feel unwanted. And so it's not a... I don't think any of us ever enjoy experiencing rejection. I don't think I've met anyone that does. And we realize, too, that it's very easy to react negatively to rejection. And there's several different ways that we can react negatively. Sometimes we can get very bitter at those who refuse to accept us, that they say, well, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me. They're being jerks, and so I'm going to just kind of think negative thoughts about them for a long time. And that can... That bitterness can hang with us for years afterwards. And it's, of course, not a healthy way of thinking, but we can have that. But sometimes, too, a way we can react negatively is we can pursue acceptance to our own detriment. And I think there's a couple different ways we can think of that. One might be where we want to be accepted by a certain person or a certain group. And so we will try as much as we can to change who we are, everything about us that we think was the basis for their rejecting us, so that they'll accept us. And in doing that, we basically might be just living a lie in order to get appreciated. And of course, it's not deep down we realize, okay, I'm being dishonest to myself in order to be accepted. But because we want acceptance so much, that's what we do. And so it's not a healthy place to be, but because acceptance is so important, that's what we might do. But then as well, sometimes what happens is because we're looking for acceptance and the groups that maybe should give us acceptance aren't doing it, that we start looking for acceptance in some other group. And sometimes the groups that will accept us aren't always good groups to be in. I know one guy that he decided he would see if he could become part of this one biker gang. And he thought it'd be really cool. And they told him, of course, all the stuff they say about us, that's all lies. We don't have any criminal activity. We just like to ride motorcycles. And so he joined, but then he found out, no, everything that and more of what they said about this gang was true. And so he ended up getting out, but he got, basically the way you get out is you get beat up really bad before they let you out. And so he basically said, if you ever need someone to tell you about biker gangs and the bad idea of joining one, just have him call me up, because he just said, this is not good. But it's the thing, you want to be part of something, this looked cool, but then it wasn't a good thing. That's a lot of young people, that's how they end up in a lot of the bigger cities getting into gangs, because maybe they don't have parents at home. They want to belong to something, and these guys are saying, oh, come belong to us. And it's not because we really care about them. It's like, oh, well, you're younger. We can have you be kind of our drug mule and do all this stuff because we know that you're a juvenile, you're going to just get a slap on the wrist and get away with this. And so they're in places of real danger, but it's a lot of times because they're seeking acceptance. But as well, too, we might realize because we have those feelings of rejection that really hurts us, and so we don't like feeling that way, so we might turn to addiction as a way of numbing that pain. Where I don't want to think about that. And so this is just a way to push that out of my mind. And of course, it's not a healthy thing, but it, in the moment, it seems to be effective. And of course, addiction, we use it sometimes to try to solve our problems, and it doesn't... It maybe is a temporary fix, but it actually adds a whole bunch more problems to my life. And so we see that, what happens, and what happens to us when we don't get acceptance, where it can lead us, and it's not a good place. And so, first off, I think it's important that we learn to deal properly with rejection, because we are going to face rejection at different times in our lives. We don't want to. We hope that we could avoid it, but it is going to happen one way or the other. There's going to be someone that doesn't like us. There's going to be some employer, we could have an awesome resume, and for whatever reason, they don't select us, right? So we got to learn to deal properly with it. And so it's a thing that when rejected, we can do all we can to try to make ourselves acceptable to someone else, but our best efforts always seem to fall short and leave us feeling worse, not better. Because it's a sad thing, is that sometimes there's just no pleasing certain people. Like, you could bend over backwards, do everything they wanted, and then still you wouldn't be accepted to them. And so it's realizing that. It's like if we have this person has a certain level where it's just, okay, I can't reach that, and so it's not even much point trying. And again, kind of what I mentioned is sometimes we are dishonest with ourselves. We betray our own selves in order to get someone's acceptance. And that we lose out when we do that. But it's important to realize that when rejection comes, it usually has more to do with the other person's issue than it does with us. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes people just can be jerks. That's life. That you would think if, like, we think of the golden rule, right? Do unto others you want them to do unto you. And you think, okay, nobody likes being rejected, so all of us should really be accepting of other people and welcoming. That you'd think, well, they would want someone to do that to them, so why don't they do that to me? And some people just don't follow the golden rule, and that's life. And so it's we shouldn't always rush to assume, oh, well, there's something wrong with me. Because a lot of times it has nothing to do with us. They're just not thinking compassionately. They're not. A lot of times, like, and the sad thing is, it's kind of that thing is that, because we think of that process of acknowledging, evaluating, and then choosing to accept or reject. A lot of times people, they barely even acknowledge us. And then their time of evaluation, they don't even take any actual time to get to know us. If they really got to know us, they'd see, okay, this person is interesting. There's a lot that I could learn from this person. There's a commonality that I maybe didn't realize there was. And so it's worth getting to know this person. But some people just, they're not willing to take the time to give a person the proper evaluation. And so, when you're rejected by such a person, it's not an issue with you, it's an issue with them. And so we have to recognize that. And we see as well that Jesus experienced rejection from his own people, even though he was faultless. That we think of it. What did Jesus ever do to say, oh yeah, he wasn't a cruel person, he was kind to everyone. He did a whole lot. He went around doing good. Like, he wasn't a mean person or anything like that. But we see it talks about that he was despised and rejected of men. And it says in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That to his own people that should have welcomed him more than anyone else, that they said, we don't want anyone to do with him. This was their king, and they rejected him. And so we want to think about that, that it wasn't that Jesus had a problem, it was all these other guys had a problem. But we see his response, and we see that after all that he endured, that he was rejected, and that he was actually taken prisoner, he was brought through this mock trial, and delivered up to be tortured and crucified, that in the midst of all that, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the thing. When people reject us, we can choose to be bitter and to just have that bitterness poison us from the inside out, or we can say, I'm just going to forgive them. They don't know what they do. They don't know me. They never got to know me. They weren't willing to take that time. I'm just going to forgive them, let it go, and just trust that maybe that wouldn't have been a good relationship for me anyways. And so we want to think about that, that we need to respond with forgiveness. That's really, Jesus left us an example for us to follow. That when we're mistreated, don't react, don't get bitter, just forgive and move on. And that's, I think, is key for us. So then, with this idea of finding acceptance, we look for it from other people, but we want to understand and discover God's acceptance that He offers to us. And so, and while there may be many in this world that reject us and push us away, we find in the scriptures that God is calling us to come to Him. It says in Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That even if it's like our own family rejected us, God says, I will welcome you into my family. And He calls us to come to Him. And He says, whosoever will come to me and drink of the water of life freely. That that's what He is saying to us. That he's not pushing us away from Him. He's drawing us. He says, come to me. And this is a challenge, though, is that we look at ourselves. We look at our different mistakes we've made or various moral failings in our lives. And we would think, well, God is holy, God is righteous. I am definitely not that. And so it's just automatic. God's not going to want anything to do with me that I know that God would reject me. Because it's kind of the thing that sometimes we hope people accept us, but we're worried, well, if they actually got to know some of the things in our past, then for sure they'll reject us, right? Whereas God, He knows everything about us. Every dumb thing we've ever done. And so we're like, oh yeah, He knows it all, so He's definitely going to reject me. But He says, no, I want you. I value you. And I want you to come to me. And this is the thing, too, is that sometimes we think, well, boy, I want God to accept me. And so what is our thought? Well, I got to try to do good things. I need to turn over a new leaf. I need to become a better person. I need to make all these different changes in my life. And if I do that, maybe, just maybe, I'll do enough that God will accept me. And we can try and try and spend our whole life trying and thinking, if I'm just good enough, God's going to accept me. But deep down, we have to realize, in our own strength, none of us can get ourselves cleaned up enough to be accepted by God based on our own merits. And that's true of any of us. Even someone that's maybe gone to church their whole life and been a good person, you don't get accepted by God by our own merits. None of us do. That talks about there's, in God's eyes, there's none of us that are righteous. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? But it's not something that we can purify and cleanse ourselves by ourselves. We don't have that ability. And so, looking at that, we think, well, it's hopeless. We'll never have any chance of being accepted by God. But that's not true. And this is why. Because God calls us to Himself as we are. And He says, you don't have to clean yourself up to come to me. Come to me as you are, and I will clean you up. That He says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That He's the one that we can come to, and He can wash all that stuff away. And He is the one, and it talks about this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is maybe a verse to kind of look at yourself later on and just kind of be reminded of. But it speaks of how He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And in the Beloved we understand to be Jesus, His Son. And so it's basically through His Son that we are made accepted. That we are made acceptable in His sight. And it's not based on what we've done, it's based on what He's done for us. And it's kind of the thing, like you could imagine almost kind of this picture of, like, if you had God in a crowd with, say, angels and a bunch of others, and we'd be like, boy, I wish I could be invited into that group. I wish they would accept me. But how do I can even expect to? It's almost like Jesus comes along and says, hey, you want to come be part of the group? And with him saying, hey, come and this is a friend of mine, and let's welcome him in. So it's kind of that picture where through Jesus we're accepted. And we can come into his presence. We can be welcomed into God's presence because of what Jesus has done for us. And so we want to understand that God wants to accept us, and it's not just, okay, well, you messed up, but I'll accept you. No, we want to understand he wants to accept us into his family. He wants to adopt us as his children. And so we want to realize how close of a relationship he wants to have with us, that every day he wants to be able to talk with us and commune with us. And so this is the thing, is that all this comes to us, we can be accepted in the Beloved. And sometimes we're questioning that, well, I've got to wait for God to accept me. But it's actually, we want to understand, it comes as we accept him. That he offered us the gift of his Son. We accept that gift by faith. There's nothing that we have to do to earn it. That we just say, you've offered it to me, I'm going to accept it. What Jesus has done for me, what he's done to pay for my sins. And so that's the thing, is that as we accept him, he accepts us. And learning that we can have that relationship with him because of what Jesus did for us. And so then from the point of salvation onward, this is something that's key, that God's acceptance becomes foundational to our lives. And this is really important, because sometimes we can forget this, we can miss this. That we do what we do, not in order to be accepted by him, we do what we do because we are accepted in him. And it's kind of interesting, with Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, and this is actually right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he's going to go out and help all these people. But he hasn't done any of that yet. This is right at the very start. And as he's getting ready, that there's a voice comes from heaven where God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so you think about that it isn't like, okay, he did all these things, and then God says at the end, well, I'm well pleased with him, even though that was true. It's before he did anything, God says, I'm well pleased in him. And so that's kind of the thing that we want to understand, because when we're adopted into his family, it's the same kind of thing, that before we do anything in a day, it isn't like, oh, I have to do all this list, or by the end of the day, God's just not going to be pleased with me, he's not going to accept me. That we can start out, okay, God says to me, or he says of me, okay, I am his beloved son, he's well pleased with me, he accepts me. And so now I can live based on that acceptance. And so it just totally changes the way that we live, that it isn't, oh, I'm just trying and trying, and hopefully he'll accept me. It's no, I am accepted, and so then I can live based on that truth. And so we realize some people reject us no matter what we do, and so we have to learn to accept and not react to that rejection. And sometimes being rejected actually puts us in some pretty good company sometimes. Because I think Jesus was rejected. There's a lot of times we actually see that, where people that were rejected at one point end up later on becoming really the savior of their nation, and people learn to realize how important that person was that they once rejected. And so we don't want to react to it and go down that wrong path. We just need to say, okay, this is going to be a fact of life, and I'll just have to learn to deal with it. But it's the thing too, is when we find acceptance and then we operate based on that acceptance, Rejection ceases to have the same emotional impact it once did. If you've got a big group of friends and you're trying to make new friends, but the person rejects you as a friend, you have that, you still have that big group of friends where you're accepted in, right? And so that rejection of that one person doesn't hurt as bad when you know that you have that acceptance of others. And so it's the thing with the Lord. When we know that we're accepted of Him, others might reject us, but since He accepts us, it doesn't hurt like it once did anymore. But it's just a thought too, as we experience and rejoice in God's acceptance of us, our desire should to be like Him. And it's not to push others away, but that we want to welcome people in our circle. That we've been in a position where we've been rejected. We know what it felt like, and we don't like how it feels, right? And so it's that thought that we look, okay, this person is out there kind of alone, is maybe struggling, could use a friend, could use someone that says, hey, come be a part of what I'm doing, what's going on here. That if we put ourselves in that person's shoes and think, hey, why don't I welcome that person in? Why don't I be an encouragement to them? That could mean a great deal to someone. Sometimes that could even mean the difference between life and death. If someone's in a really dark place and they're just looking for a friend, and if you can be that friend, that could make a world of difference to them. I remember one fellow telling a story about a guy that left a note that he was going to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and he said, the note said, well, if someone smiles at me on the way there, then I won't jump. And they found the note, but they only found his body later on. And it seemed nobody smiled along the way. And so it's kind of the thing, is that having that thought of just with people around us even, we need to acknowledge them. And we need to do an evaluation, say, okay, this person has value, this person is hurting, I need to be a help to them. I can welcome them in, help them to know that someone accepts them, and that could mean a big deal to them. And so it's doing that. As we experience acceptance, we want others to experience that too. And so instead of pushing people away, we want to encourage people to come near. So that's a lesson for tonight.